Off the Ball, GAA.
I don't think it's possible or realistic. Like, I think it's card-like.
Why not?
Like, because that is not going to happen. The only people losing out really are going to be players. Like.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
All right, you're very welcome back to Friday's Off the Ball. We're looking ahead to the weekend's Premier League and WSL action via Who You Got. Let's have a look at last week's results and standings as a result of last week's predictions. Nathan Murphy had a great week last week. He got 6 total points as a result of 1 exact score, and he had a number of correct results as well. I'm speaking like a man who's still getting to grips with the exact scoring system here, but I also got a correct exact score. What was the score that people didn't expect? There was a 1-1 draw. Oh, Newcastle versus City.
Yeah, 2-1 alls we had in that game. Yeah.
I was very tempted to go with the flow last week. I sort of started to second guess myself here on Who You Got, but thankfully I had the courage to go with it. Ger, Nathan, Will are the top three. 18 points, 18 points, 16 points, respectively. They're the ones to catch. Phil Egan, who has mysteriously disappeared, is on the in general from the show, is at the bottom of the table. Kathleen, you're second from bottom. What's going on?
It's been a bad year. I started off so well, came third last year, won the Euros, and I don't know what I'm doing at this stage.
You personally.
Euros hangover.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I personally won the Euros. Thank you very much.
It's all mad close, though. I was actually looking at it last night to see how I was doing. Because, you know, self-obsessed.
I think because I haven't got any exact scores, that's kind of what's doing you down. Once you get those exact scores, it just bumps you right up.
Yeah.
It is kind of an inverse of what the table was last year, with Phil leading for most of it. You're not doing too badly, but not as well.
He came from behind last year, though, so maybe it's the opposite this year.
Cullum, Kathleen, Mick, you're all very welcome, by the way. The voices we have in the studio. Cullum, how are you feeling about your season so far?
Pretty
after
good.
After your tiny little trophy that you won last season?
Yeah, pretty good. Still have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sit on my desk. It's there for anyone to take if they're brave enough. But the thing about exact scores are that's the beauty of the game, you know. Because at the moment, I find what I'm doing myself, I'm just allocating numbers to teams.
Yeah.
And hoping for the best. But springtime is when you start focusing.
Okay, right, when the ground gets hard.
You just need to be, as Michael said there, with the hands in his head already, we're only a few minutes in, that you got to make it seem like you're very close. You got to make it seem like you're not going to win, but you're mentioned second or third each show. And then, bang, good tobin, you're lifting the trophy.
Interesting perspective on who you got.
How do you feel you're doing?
Pretty good, yeah.
That's debut season up from the championship.
Because you're, exactly, it's difficult for you. You're hosting the segment, but you're also in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one asks you about your opinions about the games.
I just offer them like unsolicited football opinions.
Find it a few weeks into it?
Good. I'm happy to be in the top four Champions League spaces. Occupied, very happy with my Newcastle pick last week. So thank you, Edison.
Top two is Champions League. There's only 10 in the league. You got to be proportional.
Always
there.
One, eh?
Always
in that
one.
Case, two.
Let's have a look at this weekend's fixture. Sorry, Cullum. You're about to say something.
I like John's guesses.
John is wild.
He's wild.
He shoots from the hip. And
I love
wish
him.
I could be John Duggan.
I love them.
Let's have a look at this weekend's predictions. We are starting with Aston Villa versus Manchester United. It is one of the games on Sunday. So
what did Mick do?
A nice mix of things here. Ger is the only one who is going for a Manchester United victory here. Ger being an Aston Villa fan. I'm going for a draw. Nathan's going for a draw. And everybody else is going for Aston Villa. So the three of you are all predicting Villa is going to win this thing.
I audibly gasped last night when I saw Ger's pick come in for United.
Now, based on current Manchester United form, obviously, it seems a bit fanciful that they would go to Villa Park and win. But I'm sure, as Mick would attest to, they've won the last 3 games against Manchester United. Historically, have a good record
against Villa,
beating Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Against Aston Villa, I should say. Emery won his first game as Villa boss against United. But since then, he's lost the 3 Premier League fixtures that they've played. So despite the fact that Villa were much better than United last season, throughout the year, United still the double over them. So that's certainly what I'm basing my belief on a draw on.
Yeah, Villa always lose to Manchester United. They very rarely draw, actually. There's been a couple of 2-alls in the last few years. But generally, if you just look at, it's like I'm looking at from Villa's perspective here, going backwards, L-L-L-L-L-W-D-L-W-L-L-L-L-D-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L- We always lose to Manchester United. So I have picked up the win because I'm willing to break from history.
Turning the station off and putting it on again. Is this alright? Like, let's go to the
mechanics. Batteries for
mechanics. Let's go to the mechanics now. Friday night.
Record skip. So anyway, yeah. That's I know where Jer's coming from. Jer's seen it before. And if you're a Villa fan, you don't forget it as quickly as maybe a Manchester United fan does, or a neutral. You move on to the next week. Whereas we live with the pain of losing to Manchester United all the time, even when they're significantly better than them, as I do believe they are at the moment. However, I just feel that something from Wednesday night will carry Villa over. Villa Park again. It's not a bad day to come. It's not exactly when it's Manchester United come to town, it's not exactly going back to the mundane Premier League. You know, it's not like having to entertain Leicester or something.
But what about Villa's recent Premier League form? Drew 2-2 with Ipswich, and I wouldn't say they were lucky, but they definitely got out of jail, deservedly so, against Wolves the previous week.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. I thought that
Wolves the worst team in the league.
I thought they turned
around. Ipswich, not a good team.
I don't think Wolves are the worst team in the league, and I don't think they will be towards the end of the year, but they played very, very poorly for 45 minutes in that game and then were brilliant in the second half, actually, and dominated. And that's what good teams do. They regularly, like, you would regularly see Man City falling behind and winning the game, Arsenal fall behind and win the game. I actually wouldn't have that much concern over what happened in either the Everton or the Wolves game. You don't want it to be happening constantly. But when it happened again against Ipswich, and what happened against Ipswich is Villa reacted quickly, scored the two goals and then stopped playing again and then couldn't get it back, and they were just defensively frail. Now, I don't know. I mean, on Sunday I'm looking at it going, you got to be more professional. You got to win these Premier League games. You got to, can't have your mind on Champions League. But then you see Wednesday night and you live Wednesday night, you know, and it's like, it was such a massive, genuinely massive occasion, and they're closer to it than we'll ever be, and they're looking at it, and they're probably doing tactics against Bayern Munich. It's only human. It's only natural that they would have a little slip going to Portman Road, you know? Like, so I don't know if you can necessarily hold it against them. In general, they just need to be a little bit tighter at the back. They showed on Wednesday night that they can do that. Manchester United offer a very, very different challenge in lots of different ways, I suppose, but can't see Villa not scoring. Just can't see them not scoring against this United defence. And, you know, we're talking about Villa here rather than United. You know, United are the team. Like, they're that's destroying. Who I'm making the prediction based on.
Yeah.
Not on Villa's form.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you remember Unai Emery's first game in charge of Aston Villa?
Against Manchester United.
November 2022, 3-1 victory. Now, United did the double in Villa last season.
Now, Villa were 2-0 up on Stevens
Day at Old Trafford. And then February, United won 2-1 fairly amazingly at Villa Park, and then out departed Scott McTominay, got the winner, the rescue act himself. Go on.
On McTominay, So I was making the point to Gavin Cooney earlier in the week that United fans are surely now feeling not nostalgic for the Fergie era, but nostalgic for even the Solskjaer era, when Rashford was shooting the lights out, when Bruno Fernandes came to the club and was absolutely amazing. To see those players not playing so well must even bring you back to a higher point in the doldrums. But I wonder, at this point, are Manchester United fans going to start getting nostalgic for last season when you had a midfielder like Scott McTominay popping up with goals? It's very early in the season, and not even including European matches in which they haven't won anything so far. But they're at a 33% win rate so far this season, compared to last season's heady heights of 47% win rate in the Premier League. Is there a chance that last season actually looks good in the context of what's about to unfold this year?
I mean we're nostalgic for an era that's bygone, you know, like
last season.
That's generally how it works.
that's a good definition of that word, actually. Yeah, fair enough. No, McTominay did really well last season for himself, and for me it's like he earned his move to Napoli. It's good for Scott McTominay to get away from the club, even though the club didn't really want him. Like, but yeah, United could do with him for sure. But it's, I don't know, I don't think that's the problem, you know, getting rid of McTominay. I don't think it is. Like, last night against Porto in the Europa League, it's just remarkable. Like, United are just destined to remain in purgatory. Because you think, well, he's gone. Like, if Porto win comfortably here, like, there's just no, it's Villa's just his farewell, like. And then they go 2-0 up, United. And then when it got to 3-2 to Porto, and he makes this incredible double substitution of Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans, you're thinking, like, oh, he's handed in his notice, like, this dude is done. And then Maguire pops up, and then you're left the next day thinking, how do you analyse this? Like, and it was the reason that I actually hesitated on predicting this particular game. And I really ran through all three possible results and I said, geez, they're all as likely as each other, because I'm thinking possible Villa hangover. You've alluded to their sketchy enough league form recently. And then the problem is, for the opposition even, is that when Rashford receives the ball on the left wing, you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know if he's going to turn back and give it back to his defenders or if he's going to score.
And Villa have no right back.
Both. And, and Villa are suspect at full back. So,
at right back.
Luca Dean was left back, was he, the other night? Yeah, yeah, he was all right. Yeah.
Two good left backs.
Yeah. Yeah. Ian Matson can't start at the moment. Yeah, all right. But I just think Villa will have just about enough quality to beat United this weekend. But either way, unless United win really comfortably, I think Ten Hag's going to go before we're back playing football after the international break. I think he's done. I think it's just all set for it. Like, he had the Benny McCarthy interview during the week. Like, Benny, you're only out the door, man. And you're talking about how this guy, how your former boss has no passion for the job. Like, and he's very good tactically, but he can't get his message across. It feels like we're done.
Did you see it was obviously on Portuguese TV that he gave the interview? And he was like, the only two people that I would say are playing well for Manchester United are Diogo Dalo and Bruno Fernandes. And it's like, is this like tourism football Portugal that he was advertising or something like that? It was very, very strange. It was like, know your audience, Benny, anyway.
I don't know, like, Bruno Fernandes is kind of the encapsulation of where Manchester United are, a player who's capable of great individualism and can be like prolific stats-wise in terms of goals and assists, but then can really be a liability at times. If you don't have the ball an awful lot, there's not really much to Fernandes. And I'm not even counting the fact that he's been sent off for the second game in a row, but like, his wild gesticulations and guffawing to his teammates and referee around them isn't really typically the sign of a leader that you want on the pitch. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, on his day, he's the best player on the pitch. And I really do think that's a neat summary of United, because this is not an awful side. Like, we were talking to Andy Mitten during the week on Breakfast, is like, look at the players that came on against Spurs. Like, they're all good players, but they're a bunch of individuals. And I'm not really sure if it's Ten Hag who's coming up short at the level of the top of the Premier League, or if this is a structural and historical issue since Alex Ferguson left the club. Because you look at even that 2013 title winning side was not a vintage Manchester United team. Like, that was based off the imperious form of Robin Van Persie.
Yeah,
but it was an ageing side, and Fergie left it to him. Like, you could argue that it was destined to go this way, but 11 years of it is a surprise, you know. Villa are a much better side than United.
Yeah,
but put another way,
we have seen United do weird things.
Exactly.
What do you reckon, Kathleen?
I just think United are so bad at the moment that if Villa don't get a result against them, it's I get the it could be a hangover from during the week, but this is exactly the sort of opportunity that Villa have to prove that they are one of those big teams and should be in those big European conversations at the moment. Like, I met my parents last night, and in the time it took me to walk from the Lewis station, which is about 6 minutes from my house, walked past my local pub 2-0. By the time I got in the door, 2-2. And I was like, what on earth happened in that 6 minutes that I was walking home listening to Nathan and Vinny on comms and off the ball? But I just think that United are ripe for the picking at the moment. And if Villa want to prove that they're in these conversations and they need to be putting in those big performances like they did in Europe during the week, and they need to be improving their record against teams like United. I don't know why Ten Hag is still there.
Yeah.
I don't think it's totally his fault what's going on at the moment at all, but I think United need someone like, I don't know, kind of what Arteta did when he came into Arsenal and is able to scrap half the team, bring in the sort of players they want, bring in a few players from the academy that he trusts, and build from the ground up again. Because at the moment, watching United is kind of like watching Arsenal, like, just pre probably the Emery stage of when he came in that they just seem totally lost and
waterless. They're just brittle, like, you know, they'll collapse in an instant.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
But now, Arteta was on the brink at one point. Remember the start of the season when Brentford beat them 2-0 on Friday Night Football, and it was like, this guy's gone, like, this thing's not going to last. But Arteta had self-belief enough, and I guess enough managerial charisma to convince his side that they are good enough to turn this around. And I don't see that with Ten Hag. I definitely don't see the ability to turn players around. I think, like, one of the most striking comments of the season was Christian Eriksen after the 20 game, which is a one all. And he said, they just wanted it more than us.
Yeah.
And in fairness to Owen Hargreaves, it went back to him on TV, and he was asked a separate question. And he was like, I can't believe Christian Eriksen just said that. Because by United's modern disasters, and there have been plenty, like, they've conceded three or more goals 31 times since Erten Hag took charge in 2022. That's by far the most of any Premier League side in that time. So there's been loads of other examples. The one out of home to 20, kind of forgettable, but Ericsson points that out. Arteta believed right until the end that he was good enough to do it. You could feel that in his demeanour, and that's not clouded nostalgia. Like, you could feel that Arteta was firmly of the belief that he was good enough to change this around. With Ten Hag, he probably believes he's a good manager, but I don't believe he's going to turn it around.
Yeah, like, what I always say with Arteta is that he took on Arsenal's best player and had the balls to cut him. But then everybody says in response to that, well, Ten Hag did the same with Ronaldo.
Yeah. He did. So. And I think that was a great move by Ten Hag. And it was brave enough, like, because he didn't have to do that. Now, Gerr, I know, be of the opinion that it took him too long to do that. But he still did it.
The one thing about your point about Emery, or maybe everything pre-Arteta at Arsenal, was that Emery has clearly proven himself at many clubs to be an outstanding manager, and he still failed at a club that was clearly a little bit broken behind the scenes. And I wonder if that's actually the comparison to United now, where no matter who the manager is.
I do think there was definitely a cultural change. Yeah, no. There was a cultural change in Arsenal whenever Arteta came in. But I don't know how much that was led from his side and how much it was just the club themselves deciding, OK,
let's sign better players. Let's not sign Nicolas Pepe next time we have 75
Before
million.
We get into an Arsenal discussion for no reason, can I just go back to...
So cranky.
No, I do know we have to move on. I just want to say two more quick things about
Villa. The radio
this is what
anyway.
The people want.
One, Kathleen makes a very, very good point about Villa needing to kind of win these types of games to kind of maintain their level. But actually, they have been. And in a weird way, this is like, I look at the fixtures and go, oh God, we've got, like, you know, City this week and Spurs this week, and that's, we're going to get no points out of those, and then where are we getting the points after? And they consistently do. They win or draw or get something out of these games, and they'll be great. But United have been the exception. I even think last year they were kind of weird games. Like, you take the Christmas one, Villa were dominant, they were brilliant in the first half. United fell into every trap Villa set for them. It was bizarre how I was so excited about how much they were outplaying United. And then Hoyland scored the first goal and everything kind of went a bit mad. It was just a crazy Christmas game, and they happen, you know, and Hoyland got a hat-trick, and it was, you move on from there, you know.
Not to be analysed,
but it's not analysed but, you know, it just, that happens in football,
like,
you know. But the other thing I was going to say is watch for the team sheets this week, because Jacob Ramsey went off injured, looked like a groin injury. Bailey had been injured during the week, came on and only lasted 30 odd minutes, went back off again, so he's obviously injured. Pretty sure Philogene will play. I'm excited to see him up against Diego Dallo, you know, on the right wing. I think that's interesting. But McGinn's injured as well, so there's no more wide players, which means that you probably move Rodgers out there, and that leaves room for Twin Towers.
JD,
John Duran finally makes a start, plays with Ollie Watkins. And what will they do to that Manchester United defence?
Tommy Walsh and Kieran Donaghy all over again, Mick.
Absolutely.
Maguire and Evans on after 7 minutes.
That could be chaos. This.
John, I saw a tweet there. John Duran is the Cristiano Ronaldo of Divock Origi's.
it's mad. Perfect sense, really.
Because Duran's going to be a star, but he is in this fascinating position where this prolific young fella off the bench... like, should you even start him? Like, is he going to really start the definition of a finisher rather than a sub? Because Nathan put that to Stephen Bradley yesterday about Dylan Watts coming on. Like, was he a finisher? Like, he was kind of saying tongue in cheek, and Bradley was on, no, we don't do finishers, they're subs. Whereas in rugby, they're seen as finishers. But Duran could actually glorify that sub position that nobody wants.
Well, it's an amazing situation to be in at 60 minutes, knowing you're bringing on a guy for a guaranteed goal. So you're one more than you are on the scoreboard at that stage. You know, you get to nil all at 60 minutes and you've won the game.
Yeah. I don't want to open this kind of worms here, but I also find it very interesting that Ollie Watkins is such an amazing player. Such an amazing player. And it's almost like taken as a matter of course that he's getting hooked after an hour.
I know. And he's playing well.
Yeah,
he did the first 2 or 3 games of the season, but actually got up to speed quicker than he does most seasons. And he's been flying the last few weeks. He was brilliant in the first half against Bayern. Yeah. He absolutely put...
Right, Lee Phelps of William Hill is with us on the line. Lee, how are you getting on?
I'm really good. I'm really enjoying the conversation. I've got about 15 different kind of bets going around in my head, what we could do, what we couldn't do. Yeah, it's a fascinating game, isn't it? And someone was saying to me there aren't that many standout games this weekend in the Premier League, but I think this is a really, really interesting match for a lot of the reasons that you guys have just spoken about. One thing I would like to comment on is, you talked a lot about this Aston Villa hangover from Europe, potentially. I get that they're not used to it. But what about Man United? A day less to prepare, been away from home, you know, a kind of crazy game and 3-3 draw with, you know, the Fernandes being sent off. I don't think that they're that much different in terms of the potential hangover. And straight off the bat, I think Aston Villa at 6-5, odds against, to beat this Manchester United side at home, is just a great price.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, the, looking at the stats and, you know, since Unai Emery took over, only City, Liverpool and Arsenal have won more home points than Aston Villa. They're, I think it's the best start to a Premier League season since 2008, 2009. I get that they played in midweek, but that will only have given them confidence, surely, even if there are some kind of tired legs. Yeah, I mean, I fully expect them to be odds on to beat Manchester United, given where Manchester United are. You know, their manager's 2-1 on to be the next manager to leave his job. You know, could well go after this weekend if Villa do a job on them. Yeah, I just thought, I find it hard to look at anything else other than Aston Villa at 6-5 to win this game, to be honest with you.
But it's a good point, Leah. Like, and I do wonder, do you guys take into account recent history then? Like, while last season doesn't have a whole pile of bearing on what's going to happen this weekend, when we're making our predictions, we get carried away a little bit by Villa losing three Premier League games in a row. I got carried away by Villa losing three Premier League games in a row to Manchester United, so I'm giving them a bit more of a shout. Is that something that you look at when it comes to the market as well?
Or not so much the market, but I think as punters we do, don't we? I mean, you know, there's crazy things, you know, that we always look at, you know, where a player seems to always score against his former club or against a certain team. There's no rhyme or reason for that sort of thing, is there? And similarly, all right, the managers have been similar, so there is some collateral form between Villa and Manchester United, but different stages of the season. You know, you can look at those games and think, well, where were Villa at that point? If Villa had played Man United at a different point last season, would they have won that game? And so there's obviously confidence to be taken into consideration in all those things. Look, the fact that they both played midweek and there might be some residual hangover from Villa probably does play into it, because Manchester United players are more used to playing midweek than weekends in those kind of high-level, high-pressure games. But I still think 6-5... I just think it's a great price. I wouldn't be surprised to see it get backed in as we get closer to the game itself. I kind of can't get over the price. I'm just really surprised, because maybe the fact that Manchester United are Manchester United's playing into it. But yeah, it's one for me that 6-5, I just don't think it can be ignored, to be honest with you. There's loads of bet builders, by the way. I mean, you guys have been talking about the goal scorers. I mean, whether it's Ollie Watkins with Duran coming on as sub for him, the impact sub. I mean, John Duran as impact sub. So the impact sub is where the player goes off that you've backed, the one coming on carries your bet on. I mean, if you've backed Ollie Watkins to score this season consistently, not only has he scored, what, 4 in the last 3, but John Duran's come on for him on 3 occasions and scored on each of those. I think he's scored 5 goals as a sub this season. He's also been carded twice and got assists as well. So all that counts in those markets as well. Unbelievable player. I'd be tempted to leave him on the bench. I know what you guys are saying, but I'd be really tempted just to leave him on the bench and, you know, and carry on. Why break something? Why try and, you know, fix something that isn't broken with these two players? And especially there could be some fatigue from Watkins, couldn't there? After the midweek exertions, yeah. But yeah, really looking forward to it. We've got the top hacker I wanted to mention as well before I go on Saturday 3 p.m. These top hackers just keep winning time after time after time. It won again in midweek, so we've got another one this Saturday. I mean, like, if you've been backing these, to we should have, basically what I'm going to say is we should have been doing these as the charity bet because we would be so up by now. But look, you know, whether we do it this week or not, this week will be the week that me putting up as a charity bet, I'll get it beat, obviously. But it's Arsenal to win at home to Southampton. It's City to win at home against Fulham. It's West Ham to beat Ipswich, got a good record against Ipswich. I think they're all decent. It's also Brentford to win against Wolves, who are having a bit of a torrid time of it. Obviously, the Arsenal and City ones, you know, you can see why they're in there. 1-7 Arsenal, City are 1-4. Obviously, the West Ham and Brentford, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're the ones that, you know, are a little bit more difficult to predict, if you like. But those four, all to win at home, is 5-1. And like I said, it just keeps landing. The bosses are going spare, but, you know, it's still there and people still keep backing it.
We have a terrible record, as you say, with the charity bet this season. And instead of taking your sage advice, we're just going to keep doing it ourselves, it turns out. And Jared's come up with a bet. I'm laying the idea at his door. Of Tottenham against Brighton, and the bet here is, what did we say the bet was?
Spurs to win, both teams to score.
Spurs to win, both teams to score, and Brennan Johnson with a shot on target. Thank you very much, Will, with his actual good memory there in the box. Have we got a prize for this, Lee?
Yeah, 16-5 the price for that. I don't mind it at all. I mean, both teams to score, yeah, yes. Tottenham to win, yeah. But look, I'm going to go with you guys. And Brennan Johnson absolutely is in great form, isn't he? Yeah, a shot on target. That's at least one shot on target from Brennan Johnson. Tottenham to win, both teams to score, yes. 16-5 on your bet builder, and look out for all the offers around that as well on the app and on WilliamHill.com.
Let's hope this is our weekly. Thanks a million. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. And you guys too.
Lee Phelps there of William Hill on the line. And who you got is in association with William Hill. Remember, you must be over 18 and visit gamblingcare.ie for more information. I think this is a cracking Sunday of football. Both games live on Off the Ball. Live commentary. That Villa game obviously is going to be a cracker. I think Brighton Spurs is going to be an absolutely brilliant game. Let's have a look at what we are predicting. Everybody's either going for Spurs or a draw, so nobody's actually going for the home win in this game. Any particularly outrageous shouts here? I've gone for the most goals. I think 3-2 to Tottenham is what I'm expecting. I think I'm probably basing this on things never go in a linear pattern, as I've started to realise with life, football. But I'm just basing this on the way Cole Palmer managed to expose a defence that is now looking like it might provide the next great world-class defender in Jan-Paul van Hek, because he was missing last week, and Cole Palmer did what he did. This guy's now worth 50 million, 100 million, 150 million, why not? And as a result of that, I'm just looking at whoever's going to come in this week, and it's going to be Webster or Igor. It was Webster last week, wasn't it? And just the way Tottenham play, and I think they could have a lot of joy. By the same token, Tottenham like to play a high line as well, and I think any time a team has done that against Brighton, we just have an absolutely cracking game. So I'm very, very excited for this. Just, I think Spurs are going to edge it. Lots of goals.
Yeah, no Son for Tottenham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem last week.
That's true.
Yeah, not a better without Son last week, but that was last week's opponent, wasn't it? Like, they need more preparation against Brighton, because Brighton will come with a plan.
Brighton were worse than Manchester United were last week.
What did Brighton do last week?
They got smashed by Cole Palmer.
With Chelsea, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They weren't worse than United. Anyway, I'm actually listening to everything you're saying. I'm responding as I go on. But that is a good point, actually, about who you got in general. Is like, your instant reaction is to think that the last result is exactly what the team are going to do again.
Yeah, it's not predictive
at all. But that's why I set another one on.
You said 1-0.
Yeah. A shout out to Brennan Johnson too in his form, because he was much maligned, heavily criticised, and he said one of the reasons for his upturned fortunes is he deleted all of the social media.
Was he heavily criticised?
Yeah, there was, like, he wasn't singled out by any means, but he was one of the ones mentioned that just wasn't good enough. And there is
prophecy to his play, all right.
But it was happening.
You know what he tends to do very specifically? Does a lot of shot crosses. If that makes sense. So he picks the ball up on the right,
and he can't
make up his mind whether to go to the far corner or to try and play in, and usually Dominic Solanke, and it goes wide. Tends to do that. But because he scored a bit now, he's like, actually, I'll go with my first thought, which is scoring again. Now, he hit the post at Old Trafford as well as his goal last weekend. And he's on the verge of becoming a really good Spurs player. Like, and he's probably an example of a guy who started slowly in his career, but is actually building up into it. And it was the same with Yves Bissouma. At Spurs, didn't start particularly well, but is now a very important part of their side. I think Brighton will just about use their home advantage to get something from this game. But in terms of who do you think the better side is at the moment?
Like, Tottenham.
It feels Tottenham like Tottenham are superior.
But I do find it, I just find it hard to kind of like write off Brighton unless it was against, you know, Arsenal, who they did draw with, obviously, but like City, Arsenal, Liverpool. Kind of feel like I wouldn't be betting against them. I wouldn't be betting on them to lose at home. They're a good side. Like, they had a bad week last week. If that's a form indicator, fine. Then me and Colin will have got it wrong here. But I kind of feel like there's a chance it was a one-off, and I actually think that Brighton can... I just find it hard to think that they'll be beaten at the Amex. I don't know if Spurs are on that level where you just expect them to go anywhere and win. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's just kind of the way I'm looking at it. What do you think about Solanke getting into the England squad?
Deserved.
All right.
Why?
I think there's such a bias towards Spurs in everything like that. It's like suddenly he's good enough because he's playing for Spurs now. He was scoring more goals when he was with Bournemouth. This happens constantly. This happens, like, Jack Grealish was in the England squad like the minute he signed for Man City. He couldn't get in there at Villa. You know what I mean? It's nonsense.
But I think that's a different point. I think that he should have got into the England squad last year. I agree.
There is a different manager. And he was injured in the first camp. So maybe I'll give the benefit of the doubt to that. But
he's also back in.
I think there's such a bias towards the fake victory.
Top six.
First time in a long time, though.
First time in a long time, yeah. I think they. I think £65 million was an awful lot of money to pay for Solanke to be your main man. Like, I'm not sure he's at that level.
Yeah, whilst I do think he is good enough for England and should be in the squad, I have my doubt. And I think even though he was good last Sunday, I think he probably displayed a couple of reasons why you can't fully depend on him last weekend as well. Like, two good chances that he had that went to begging. If you have one good opportunity that falls to Dominic Solanke in a crucial game, is he going to be the guy that takes it? I don't think he's on a Watkins level, for example, who's going to be able to take it.
Watkins doesn't take his chances all the time. There's very few strikers that take their chances all the time. That's why Haaland
missed the Arsenal game.
Yeah, but I would take Watkins ahead of Solanke.
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Watkins all around play, though. Yeah, Watkins is, and I'm genuinely taking off my Aston Villa glass with this. Watkins is the best all round forward in the Premier League in terms of everything he does.
He is
well below like Haaland in terms of his usefulness because of how amazing Haaland is at scoring.
Yeah,
but for Watkins, that's one of his. You know, it's not mediocre, it's good, but it's not one of his top attributes. But in terms of what he offers all around the pitch, I don't know if I think Solanke is decent at that, and I think he is lacking possibly in that clinicalness. Now, I think he's a decent player. I think he'll do fine there at Spurs, and he probably, if you take that Ivan Toney slot is up for grabs, he probably is the next obvious person in that squad, so it's fine. But just making a small point about Spurs bias in the media and in the...
It's definitely not just FA. Spurs bias, though. It's, as you say, the fake top six bias. Because, like, I don't think anyone... I think, if anything, people look at Spurs kind of down their noses a bit more so than any of the other teams because they haven't really performed over the last couple of seasons to the potential heights that they could have. Or maybe that's me just saying
that. If there is a perceived bias, I do understand it. Because if you're playing for a big club and scoring goals, you're able to do it when the limelight is on you a bit more. So you can go about your business at Bournemouth, largely.
But no one's paid attention to you.
Well, you're like, oh, it's like he scored again.
But does that not even out by the fact that you're playing with lesser players and you're still getting the job done?
I think there's a lot to be said for the fact that, you're playing with inferior teammates for sure. But it's just the truthful nature of it is that, like, Bournemouth go about their business largely. Everyone keeps an eye on a Spurs result. So if you're doing it for Spurs over Bournemouth, but you're the exact same player, I think it's fair enough that you get called into the England squad sooner than you would with Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm. The England manager should be absolutely up to speed on Bournemouth is the only thing. Like, every single Premier League club, as an England manager, you should intimately know every detail about those 20 clubs and the players.
They'd have the knowledge, but you have to take it for what Bournemouth are. Like.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I was at that Old Trafford game last season when Bournemouth won 3-0. And Solanke genuinely looked like the best player.
He was amazing, yeah. Maybe framing it in terms of his goal scoring alone is the wrong way to frame Solanke. I'm just not a 1,000,000% sold on him.
Oh,
I think he's
too.
Very, very, very good.
Me too.
Do you want to kick us off in the next game, Kathleen? We're looking at City against Fulham. And the predictions are all Manchester City, except for John Duggan.
Jesus.
John Duggan has been
another standing out result.
Kathleen, you are going for 3-0. Will is going for 5-0 Manchester City here, he thinks they're going to be well and truly back on the horse. What do you think, Kathleen?
That's a massive shout of 5-0.
Fulham are very good.
They are.
Yeah.
I think 5-0 is crazy. I think that they'll give City a very... Will says Man City are also very good. I think that's a given by the fact that we all picked them to win comfortably. I just think 5-0 is... I think it's over the top for a team like Fulham.
I'm not shocked at all if that's 5. If I'm 5 o'clock Saturday evening checking live score, ping, 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 vibrating Man City, Fulham, and all the goals are for Man City, I'm like, yeah, makes sense. Fulham are good, but it is Man City you're talking about. Yeah.
But I also think the Fulham are the sort of team that if they do leak, like, say, 2 goals in quick succession or something, they're just going to park the bus up and...
Yeah, they're probably
They'll be defensively solid. Like, they know what they need to do to hold out and not make it a 5-0 drubbing.
What do you make of Marco Silva as manager?
He's doing a very good job.
What do you make of him overall? There was a video of him recently in the dressing room afterwards talking to his Fulham players, and I never get a sense of him. I always get a feeling off him that he's kind of, there's a closed off nature to him and like...
Very serious man.
Very, very serious. I don't know what his teeth look like.
They're mad. They're all like crooked.
Yeah, that's
yellow.
He does it. He actually has a great sense of humour, but he's very self-conscious.
You've just unravelled the mystery of Marco Silva.
Don't you know what I mean, though? Sentence. Like, you know, he was made famous when he arrived in England because the Soccer Saturday crew famously wrote him off. Famously wrote him off. And then he did a good job, like, where he was, with the exception of Everton. And he got the Fulham job, and he's doing really well. I get the impression of him that he's tactically excellent. You know, is brilliant setting up his team. Like Kathleen said, like, I'd fully agree with that, is that if they go 2-0 down in quick succession, Silva's like, oh, relax here now for a second.
I don't think they're the sort of team to lose their heads, and that probably does go back to him being a serious man. You know, I feel like he could pull in a team and be like, okay, right.
Yeah.
Things have gone a bit bad here. Just calm down. Do the basics. Do them well. And we'll build from that. Like, that's the sort of manager I imagine he is. I don't think he's looking for them to do fancy stuff. I mean, they're what, like sixth at the moment?
Yeah.
That's really impressive for... Like, when Villa were doing this last year and going on that great run, we were talking about them a lot differently than I think a lot of people are talking about Fulham so far this year.
It was a little later in the season, I think. But no, I think you're right. I think it's been basically invisible. And they've been a very, very hard team to beat. They should have got something from United on the first day of the season. And you think about that, yeah, they'd be in the top four if they did, you know.
Would you, if
they were beaten 4-0 at Craven Cottage in May by City. I don't know if that counts.
So Will shout is legitimate. If and when Ten Hag goes, Marco Silva is a candidate. Do you think that's a good match? Is he at that level? Or are United at the level of Marco Silva?
Honestly, I have no idea. I have no idea what a good match with Manchester United is.
Okay.
If you're him and you have the setup of Fulham, why would you want United?
I think he'd definitely take the job.
That's the problem, so, isn't it?
Do you though?
Oh yeah. Definitely take
the job.
You're
never going to get a chance again.
But with the way I'm not the sure club is at the moment.
No, yeah.
Yeah, like, if you're asking me, do I think it will be a good decision in the long run, as in, will he have long-lasting success? I'm not so sure about that, but I think if United come calling to you as Fulham manager, you absolutely have to take the job.
You take a shot.
Is it fair to say you haven't thought much about Marco Silva?
No, I often...
Do you lie awake at night?
I often think about Marco Silva a lot more than you can believe. I think
he's the top five least talked about managers.
Yeah, probably.
And he doesn't deserve
Name
that.
Name the other four.
Okay. Who do we have?
The Bournemouth
Iraola.
Manager. Yeah.
probably Gary O'Neill now. He was talked about a lot.
No, he's getting a laugh this year now.
Two what more.
Nonsense.
Kieran McKenna definitely gets talked about.
The Palace manager.
Glasner. Glasner's a quiz question in though, 6 years.
Lopetegui.
Julen. No, Julen is because they're doing badly.
Steve Cooper.
Coops, yeah, definitely. Cooper, yeah,
there you go,
that's
your five.
Yeah.
Right, great slot there, guys. Let's move on to the final game. WSL, Arsenal versus Everton. Everybody's going for the WSL is the only thing that brings people together. It's the only one that we ever get unanimity for. Kathleen, are Arsenal boring Arsenal in the women's game as well?
They are actually sometimes this season. They have this weird thing at the moment where they can't seem to concentrate on two things at once. So they'll do terribly in the Champions League, and then they're brilliantly in the league, and then they'll do brilliantly in the Champions League, and then terribly at the league the following weekend. Everton are having an absolute shocker of a start to the season. Two games in, they've had an ACL in both games. One player that had just signed during the start of the season. Brilliant performance from Courtney Brosnan, though, during the week in the Conti Cup. Saved three penalties against Newcastle. And she probably has been one of the few bright sparks for Everton this season. Heather Payne back on the pitch, getting a few more minutes as well. She's still coming back from that injury that's kind of kept her out of the Ireland squad the last while. So it's good to see her getting. But yeah, I would genuinely be worried for Everton this season in terms of relegation, just because their squad... With those two ACLs to two starting players, they didn't really sign that many players during the summer. It's a very, very small squad, and they just don't look like they have a plan at the moment. This is the sort of game that Arsenal should be going into and winning by multiple goals and not like and keeping a clean sheet as well. But they've just been so up and down so far this season that it's really hard to predict exactly what they're going to do. Like, I think I said 3-0 for this game. And that's as much that I think that's the level Arsenal should be playing at. But I also wouldn't be totally surprised if this game finished 1-0 like last week did, or if they just didn't perform.
Everton have the unfortunate probability of being the first side in WSL history to lose 100 games. They lose this weekend. Yeah.
The relegation picture is mad though, isn't it? Like, Half the league could get relegated.
Yeah, basically. I mean, generally, there's two teams that fight it out for relegation. It tends to be whoever has come up from the championship the year before. And then there's always one unfortunate team. West Ham last year were kind of in that roundabout. It's why I think there should be some sort of like two up, one down system rather than just the one up, one down. Because I think you look at teams like Bristol last year, they had the top... attendances in the league. They had some really, really tight results where, you know, it was just a goal that let them down in the very like dying moments, and then they're straight back down again, and it doesn't really give you any time to develop or do well in the league. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Everton, you know, if the freaking group coming in, if that makes any difference to the women's side, if they put in a bit more investment, give them a bit more money to spend. But yeah, it's not looking too rosy for them at the moment.
Interesting that they're the most losingest team in WSL, because they are also the losingest team in the Premier League all time. So it's something about being an Everton fan. There's just no crack, is it? Like, 452 games they've lost in the Premier League.
Wow.
West Ham are next, 4-4-5. So there's only 7 games between them.
But that's a backhand of compliment, because they've managed to stay in the Premier
League. They've
been there.
West Ham have been relegated loads of times.
But yeah.
That's true, actually.
Not relegated.
They've done remarkably on that front in men's football anyway, haven't they?
Give it a few months.
Yeah.
No, I don't actually when it comes down to it. They're in a battle.
Right.
There's no one I'd rather have than John Dyche.
Yeah, that's true.
Mick, Kathleen Cullum.
Thanks all.
Thanks very much. Thanks for being here with us in studio on this Friday night. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football. That has been Friday's Who You Got. We'll be back next week as we reflect on another miserable weekend for our predictions and enter into a new weekend with new, renewed, naive hope.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Off the Ball. GAA.
I don't think it's possible or realistic. Like, I think it's card-like.
Why not?
Like, because that is not going to happen. The only people losing out really are going to be players. Like.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.